Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Ladies and gentlemen, please open your hearts and loosen your butts. It's time for Couples Therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new Jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's Couples
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Naomi.
My name is Andy.
And we're a real-life couple.
A real-life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple of different questions from a couple of different listeners. Now, we're coming to you on Sunday. And I got to tell you this, guys. I've reached the end of my rope with Thanksgiving food.
Naomi, I was going to say the same thing. We didn't talk beforehand about what we were going to say when the record button got mashed.
I'm very organic about it. I don't like to like call out the artifice of it, Andy, the way you do.
But we didn't talk about it. But in my head, I was just like, I hit my wall with Thanksgiving food. And I think that's what we need to address, because you and I, that is the main reason why we like Thanksgiving.
I know. I'm going to say this, though. You know, we took a couple swings that I don't know if I would take again.
Go on.
I just didn't really like the collection of foods this year. And I think that Whole Foods was a little off with some of their items that I purchased. I felt that their stuffing was a little bland. I didn't get mac and cheese because I don't trust anybody's mac and cheese. We all know mac and cheese is a hot button food. All right. The sweet potatoes weren't sweet. All right. And so it just was feeling like it wasn't really popping off for me in the way that it does.
That's right. And I think that's contributed to our post-Thanksgiving malaise has been that it was just a odd assemblage of foods.
It's an odd assemblage.
We had, you know, a salad with pecans and, or pecans, your call, and goat cheese and cranberries. And
a classic fall sweet salad.
Classic fall sweet salad, but doesn't hit right on Thanksgiving.
Well, no, it doesn't. You know, that was a choice you made. Asparagus and Gruyere turnover. That was an appetizer. This is the other thing, too. I think we ordered some items that were for the everyday catering. And I'll tell you this, honey. Around Thanksgiving, don't get the everyday catering at Whole Foods, okay?
No.
They're not ready for the everyday. They're over here packing you stuffings, packing you green bean casserole, packing you mashed potatoes. They're not ready when you come in and say, can I have lasagna?
No.
Because when I tell you, this is some of the driest lasagna I'd never seen in my life. It was barely tomato sauce in this lasagna.
I thought it was okay.
I was livid.
I thought it was okay. But I had more pecans on Thanksgiving than I've ever had at the rest of the year combined.
I know.
It was thousands and thousands of pecans.
Between the salad and the pie, it was a lot happening. This is the other thing too. There was no apple pie left when I went to go. You know, and this is on me. Again, I had just come from New York traveling, and my head just wasn't in it. You know what I mean? Sometimes this can be very tricky, you know, this idea of staying present and not getting ahead of yourself, but then you don't plan for every iteration. And, you know, I like to look at the pies. I like to see what's going on before I just pick up a pie.
Right. By every iteration, you're like Mr. Fantastic. You're seeing all the future possibilities.
I'm trying to see all the possibilities. And yes, I could have just reserved one. But I got to take a look. I got to see what's going on crust-wise.
Sure.
I need to know what the inner apple is.
Sure. You have very particular criteria for your apple pie.
Honey, call it the Criterion Collection. Because I have a very
the Criterion
rules.
Confection.
Absolutely. It was just so tricky. So, you know, I think it was fine. But definitely, you know, we ordered pizza last night. Okay? And that's not what you're supposed to do the weekend of Thanksgiving. That's not what this weekend is about. So obviously some mistakes were made. Uh-huh. Some mistakes were made.
But also, I think you were particularly susceptible. You hung out with some friends. And as we were leaving, they're like, oh, we should order a pizza. And I think if Thanksgiving, if the food had been solid, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, I don't think that little Sprite would have gotten into your head. Yeah. I think it would have like bounced off the wall of sweet potatoes that had built up in your brain.
That's absolutely
but instead,
true.
You know, there was you were not satisfied with the Thanksgiving meal and with the Thanksgiving leftovers, so it could wheedle into your like worm tongue its way into your brain.
Exactly. I heard pizza and I go, why not? Mm-hmm. Why not? You know, but I think we're still doing okay. I think you live, you learn. I think that I've just, you know, I've already pivoted to Hanukkah and Christmas, uh-huh, in terms of where we can get some fun going. And I really think it's important. We need to like make some Hanukkah bangers. We need to like do something to give Hanukkah its due and really raise it. Because I think, look, Andy, you are a gifted musician. If we can come up with one Hanukkah song, we'd be set for life.
Uh-huh.
And it can't just be the, you know, Adam Sandler, put on your yarmulke, it's time for Hanukkah. No, no, no.
Right, I'm not a joke song. You want a real song.
I want you to be the Mariah Carey of Hanukkah. Okay?
Okay.
And how about this? Maybe even I could give some vocals in there, you know, if we need to give the punch that it needs.
Well, I think it needs your vocal. This is the problem, right? As someone who was raised on Steve Malkmus, right? My vocals are not quite. And if I actually sing, I could actually, if I'm like a bass or whatever, I'm low. My actual singing voice is
low.
You're
a tenor, babe. Touch a tenor.
Right? But I can actually have like natural vibrato in that range and stuff like that, but I don't. I sing up here.
I thought you were going to talk to me about like Jewish music. I thought you were going to be like, as someone who was raised on, you know, like, what is the Hanukkah culture? No, I understand about your singing, but I mean literally like, what does Hanukkah need? Because the problem is that if I'm a black woman and I'm out here singing about Hanukkah, you know, like will the stands abide?
Yes. This is what I'm trying to say, though. I don't think I'm the one. If you want a banger, if you want an indie rock song, yes, I will sing that to the cows come home. Mm-hmm, all right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But if you want a banger, if you want something that's a little more populist, then yes, I think it needs your vocals on it.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. How's this? We will, from right now, we will say we will have a Hanukkah banger set up for when Hanukkah begins.
Well, I didn't mean... I'll work on it now. Okay, you have enough on your plate. I don't think you need to set up another deadline, but sure, if you want to do that.
But Naomi, before we get to the episode today, we had three quick comments. Actually, we had a lot of comments, and I've culled them down to three. Someone mistakenly heard me say when I said, we're going to do open your hearts, loosen your butts, mugs. They thought I said plugs, butt plugs, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay? And they're like, that's a great idea. Last episode, I said, do you want those? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, it's taken me a long time just to get the pieces in place to get them manufactured.
Just figure out how you would begin to manufacture them.
So if people really want couples therapy branded butt plugs, okay, you have to really want them. Now, a lot of people seem to really want them, so let me play a couple comments.
Hi, Andy and Naomi. I've been listening to you guys, honestly, since like 2000, when I started my first 9-to-5 job. And I'm going to say 2019, 2020, I don't know. I've been listening to you guys for a really long time. I love you guys. I'm 27. I live in Denver, Colorado. I actually don't have a 9-to-5 anymore. I do sex work. And I know the whole sex negative thing, whatever, but I love when you guys talk about it because I think it's so important to talk about sex, even if you're not comfortable with it. And I think you guys do a great job with everything. I really do. You guys make me laugh so much. But I'm here as a qualified person to say that I would buy a butt plug from you guys. Loosen your butts. Just so you know, I will be your first customer, and I will make that purchase immediately for myself and for others. So just wanted to say thank you. Love you guys, and keep doing what you guys do. Bye.
Okay, a professional. That's a professional. A professional is saying, first of all, also I really appreciate that a professional accepts my sex negativity. Thank you very much. Also, thank you for the Lord's work that you do. Okay, because you're out here doing the Lord's work. I'm going to say that right now. But okay, we got a professional. Anyone else?
Andy, Naomi, I am just listening to your butt plug dilemma. And you definitely need to make these butt plugs, first of all. Second of all, you make sure there's like a handle at the end of it. Like, don't make those butt plugs that are just, like, a straight little sort of diamond or jewel at the bottom. I had an incident a few years ago where one got stuck all the way in my butt because I was like texting with this guy on the phone and he was like telling me what to do. And I was like getting all into it. And then before I knew it, like my butt just like sucked the whole thing in because there was no handle. And I had like this pure panic moment where I was like, oh my God, I cannot end up at the ER right now. Like I can't. So I just like had to breathe and like slow down. I had to call him on the phone and I had to have him talk me through it and I had to get it out of my butt. And since then, I've never touched those. So if you go with this marketing plan, make sure it has a nice little sturdy handle that like you can hold on to. And because I've been traumatized by the other ones, and I threw out all my other butt plugs that had just like the diamond part. And if you make it vibrating, the vibrating ones are really nice with different like settings. I don't know, I went through like a butt plug phase for a few years. Anyway, I love you guys and I would totally buy this. I think it's a great idea. Bye.
The ice in my veins when you said it got stuck up there. Oh my God. And I was like, of course it has to have a handle. In my head, I always imagined having a handle or like really just a base, right? And so like you're using that base and the base is a little wider. So it's almost like coming across your cheeks. But the base is where the writing would be. I imagine it's where you see open your hearts, loosen your butts is like where it would have to be. Like that would be where you would have to put like the couples therapy logo or something. So that's why. So like, I'm definitely in line with you, but also I'm very stressed out. But then also, how do you get it out? I mean, I'm literally just in my head. I'm like, okay, so you have to take a breath and then what, you just like bear down and just like make like as though you're having a poo. Oh my God, I'm so stressed out. I'm so glad you're on the other side of this. Oh my God. Oh,
by the way,
God.
Going to the ER with an approved thing to put into your butt is, I would say, I mean, I don't know. I would say it seems less embarrassing to me than going with like a light bulb or
like a Coke can.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But still, that feeling though, which is like, I don't feel like going to the ER.
Sure.
You get there, you're like, this is going to be a whole fucking production. I'm not a real, you know, they've got a triage. I'm going to be in there for 6 hours with a butt plug in my butt.
Right.
Like, you don't want to go there for
right.
that. Right. If you can get it out. But then also
you can't sit. You're like, you have to stand the whole time while you're waiting to get in line.
For like 6 hours. But then also I'm wondering, did you and this person that you were texting with, who you then had to call and go, it's stuck in my butt, did that lead to anything? You know, a relationship, a close friendship, you know, there's a trauma bond there, certainly. Mm-hmm. I just wonder, was that the last you heard from that person?
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. One more.
Hey, Andy and Naomi. I am listening to Naomi, who just said, you know, a butt plug that you could curl up with. And all I can think is that y'all need to make a butt plug plushie that says loosen your butt. All right, that's my 2 cents. I called in once before to say that an engagement could happen with a tree as an alternative form of proposal. Still love you guys. Hope everybody's doing great. Bye.
Okay, an alternate now, a stuffed animal butt plug branded.
Well, that becomes to me though. I'm like, that's immediately a dog toy. You know what I mean? Like a plush butt plug. You're just playing fetch with your little pepper.
So,
Mabel could model that for us.
So, should we make a dog toy butt plug couples therapy? It's getting much more complicated than
the second person was like, make sure it vibrates. I said, honey, I don't know who you think we are. We're not Industrial Light and Magic. We can't come in here with all these settings and options. But my God, if it was plushy, that's interesting.
Mm.
That's interesting. Well, you guys have given us a lot to think about. Who would have thought that our listeners would have so many thoughts on butt plugs? Who have I been talking to all these years? Into the ether.
Uh-huh.
Into the ether.
Uh-huh.
And over here, everyone's just butt plugging away. Plugging and chugging. You know? Plugging and chugging along. Like, you know, like I'm working. Like I'm chugging
along. I got it.
Just check it.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the trucking. You know, what is the thing from the 70s? The guy with the long legs, like the psychedelic man.
I don't know. All I'm thinking of is the Dunkin' Donuts logo.
No. Come on. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. The psychedelic man from the 70s trucking, and then he got long psychedelic legs. And yes, so I'm thinking of that, but with a butt plug, with him putting a butt plug into his rectum.
So what I wanted to say was, just a note, you guys, we had said when we hit 500 Patreons, we were going to do a Zoom hang. Well, we have surpassed 500 Patreons, so we will be planning a Zoom hang soon. Patreons, keep an eye out for that email. If you want to join the page, you can go to patreon.com/couplestherapypod. $5, 2 bonus eps, and a hang.
That's what we're doing here, just to let you know. But I think now, without further ado,
yes.
Even though I do think that those comments were perfect for the person that we are about to introduce, I think that he would be honored. I think he would appreciate to be associated with that.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking to dear friend, hilarious, brilliant John Gabris. Mm. Okay, we love Gabris. We go way back. This is a fun convo. You may know Gabris from his podcast, High and Mighty, or Action Boys. Also, maybe you've seen him on the show that he stars in with Adam Pally called 101 Places to Party Before You Die, which is on HBO Max. And Andy and I, we really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was a real fun time.
We ate it up. Unlike Thanksgiving leftovers, we ate it up. So without any further ado, roll it.
There he is. Gabris has entered the chat, honey.
Hello, thank you for having me in the chat, fam. We're in it now.
That's the number one fuckboy energy I want.
That's the number one fuckboy energy you're gonna get.
Gabris, we don't want to talk too much about 101 Places to Party, but two questions. One, how are you still alive?
That's a very important
question. That's a very important question we have.
Adam and I were putting in the off camera work on these, like we were pushing each other to like get up and get on the treadmill for a little bit, get in a sauna for a little bit. We were setting up IVs at certain places. Like we were like trying hard to stay alive. And we were like, if we get a second season, we were like, we gotta include this like in the contract. We're like, you gotta keep us alive and it should come out of your pocket.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, of course, you know, the magic of television. Were you you weren't actually doing a week in between each location? You went from place to place to place?
Yeah, we had like a day or two of travel and downtime in between.
Right, so you're really going harder than you even make it look. You see, that's my point. Yeah. It's like you're going harder than you make it look like there's been some time. But I'm like, oh, no. This is happening back to back to back.
You do not go home to your apartment for 5 days and see your partner and hit the gym and like, eat salad. No, you're in planes at hotel. You're like, that's the thing too. It's like off camera, it's so easy to treat yourself like shit too. Like you have a whole. You have a whole crew of people who've been watching you party all day, and they're doing a great job and working there way harder than you are. And then they're like, hey, we're going out for drinks tonight. And you're all, me and Adam are already three quarters in the bag. So we're like, yeah, dude, we're buying rounds tonight. We're out like buying the crew shot, and we're doing shots with the crew because we want to be cool bosses and we have addiction problems. We're fucking. So I'm like, you know, not for nothing, but I'm hungover as fuck because of stuff we did last night that was not on camera. I was like, we got to at least get like a social cam there at night and we got to monetize that.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I'm too fucked up off camera.
Yeah. Start a Patreon. Second question. Are the people that screwed us over still working at True TV?
I'll tell you what. Doubtful.
Good to know.
There ain't many bodies left at TV these days. Which, you know, also does not bode well at all for myself. So I feel comfortable having gallows humor about other people's jobs because I think it's a bad sign for me. Monopolies.
Okay. That's good. Because we still have spite from, how many years ago was that? 7?
Yeah, that was 70.
Oh, they're gone. Let it go. They're gone. Like they're gone two times around.
Right.
Yeah, they're on three people. Those. Unfortunately for you, those people are at like now at like Halliburton
Netflix.
And Chevron.
Oh,
yeah.
Chevron.
Okay. Now, real questions. I mean, those were real questions, but like real questions. How long have you been married?
I've been married for now 11 years.
11. Okay.
Yeah. We actually just celebrated our 11th wedding anniversary on October 15th.
Oh, congratulations. Wow. But wait, now, and you've been together well before that. So how many years total?
Total, we've been together for 19 years.
Wow.
I was going to say 20. Oh, my God.
Yeah. February will be 20. 2/10. Wow. 2/10/2003 was when we said... hey, this because we were in college, so you said like we've already been hooking up. It's like, do you want to be my girlfriend? I know we're like going slow with labels, but would you like to be considered my girlfriend? And like, And then we've been kissing for like a couple of weeks before that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how chaste.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, just kissing, yeah. Gay Prince.
Yeah, just college. Kissing and some hand stuff, you know. Mouths on each, you know, we don't have to get into specifics. That was 20-year-old gamers.
Sure. I ask this stuff because we're planning our wedding. And we're planning,
whoa,
by the way, our wedding, the day is also our anniversary day. So we're not going to have two separate ones. We purposely made it so that we just have one.
Oh, that's really smart. And then you could just be like, it's our 4th/18th wedding. You can always have like a parenthetical or something or a footnote. And they've been together for, yeah.
Yeah.
You always want an asterisk anniversary.
How many years into, how many years of together will you have before your wedding for you guys?
13.
Damn.
The wedding will be the 13th anniversary.
We got engaged.
Hell yeah. Wow, you guys are they're thick with metaphor here.
Well, this is what I wanted to ask. We got engaged three in. We got engaged three in, started planning, and our parents were so, what's the word I'm looking for? Smothering, so demanding.
I just say stressful as a blanket. Stressful. Just a real stressful. And I will say, for my part too, I don't have a planning bone in my body. You know, I wasn't a girl who was like, the wedding dreams and the book and let's
take pictures.
Pull
out a giant kind of thing, yeah, full of, like,
exactly,
dresses.
I had already been sourcing some dress ideas.
Exactly.
You know, like, yeah.
So,
by the way, you don't have to say we started planning a wedding and our families got intense. Like, anyone who has planned a wedding knows what happens with the families.
Well, this is what I wanted to ask. This is what, because I had such a stressful, we wanted to wait until we could pay for it ourselves so that we didn't have to deal with them, but we still have to deal with them. I had such a stressful phone call with my parents last night.
I shouldn't even laugh. No, it was real. Yeah, it was real.
I was walking Mabel and they called.
That's so fucking scary to say. I actually shouldn't laugh. It's like, oh man, I just got stressed for you, Andy. You were walking Mabel. Sorry.
Yeah, maybe you heard me. If you live in Los Feliz, maybe you heard me like walking around like Franklin and Edgemont screaming at the top of my lungs about, like, look, the guest list is the guest list, okay? Just deal with it.
We have people on both sides of the family that we spoke to before the wedding and no longer speak to after the wedding because of wedding-related drama, not because of just time passage.
Really?
Like Tiff's, like, second cousin who she was tight with. Like, we didn't invite her son, who was, like, 19, and we didn't know. And, like, we had said no kids. And she's,
yeah,
like, my son's,
that's
not
what
a
I'm
kid.
Saying.
And we're like, well, he's somebody. We know you. Our
Thank
friends
you.
Aren't bringing their kids, and we know their kids.
Yes.
That's what I said.
Yes.
Gabriel?
Yes.
I had the same conversation this weekend.
Yes.
Dude, it's, you know what it is? It's like the other generation still has that sort of, like, our village, like, not to, like, I'm Italian, but, like, we need to connect our villages. And it's like, these are, and my mom is like, got this weird, at least in Italian culture, of like, well, these people invited me to their wedding. And I'm like,
yep,
that's
yep.
fine.
That's my
they
parents.
Had more people, have more money, know you maybe. I said, because Tiffany made a crazy rule that I really loved. She was like, she told my mom, I'm like, she said, I am not meeting
yes!
anyone on my wedding day. Yes.
Snapping, honey, into snapping. The microphone. Snapping. Yes. You are preaching, okay? You are
she
speaking.
She said, not
on
one person I yes. don't know, except if they are the date or, like, I never met this person's partner.
Yes.
That is the only, I do not want to be like, oh, hi, nice to meet, like, if me yep. and Tiffany, did, like, it's like, this is my mom's friend who I know from when I was 15 and you have never met. It's like.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm like, that. The first time I meet you, I'm paying $200 for you to eat and drink all night? I don't appreciate that start to our relationship.
No.
The first time I meet you, no. That's not what this is.
Yeah. 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 So I very tense phone call with my parents and then a follow-up email where I still was like drawing boundaries, but I was a little less angry, in, like a little, try to be a little nicer. So how did you like,
yeah,
how
like,
did you navigate it? It's
right.
really what I want to know because it's like, it's really
what did your mom say? Like, you know, when Tiff said that. What was the response?
She was like, Jonathan, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so, like, the resolution was, like, my mom has all of these. And my mom is, like, part of a lot of, like,
a lot of different clubs. You know, she's like social gatherings, like, oh, this is my pickleball club, this is my blank club, this is my bingo club. It's like, and so I have all, and Tiffany was like, no one I don't know. And so we kept having to like knock her list down. And then we were eventually like, you can have three people who are just your friends that have no attachment to like, but we have to have met them. And my mom was like, okay. And I'm like, or we have to meet them in the next year. Like, make it happen. Like, it was so... Eventually, my mom is, like, fake controlling. She, like, wants that, but she is just lazy enough that you can kind of be like,
yeah,
okay, well, then here's what you need to do to get what you want. Oh, you're not going to take the steps to do it. we kind of just use, like, their own personality flaws against them. Like, we were just like, oh, I know how to do this. Let's put it on my mom's plate, and she'll just never do it. She was
see,
like,
that's perfect. Smart. That's smart. Yeah,
we used them at like, and like Tiff's family was they were cooler than my family. You know what I mean? Like my, but like there was some drama. Like Tiff's brother wanted to bring his plus one, and my Tiffany was like, I don't know her. You just started dating her. She's in photos, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like they broke up like 3 months later.
Of course.
And there's like all this just kind of like, it's all stupid stuff like that, you know, where you're like, but like also you're trying, because you're hosting, but you're also striving for something specific. So you can't be fully like, if you host people at your house, you're like, we got to make sure we have, you know, this kind of beer because that's what Andy likes when he comes over. We should. But like when you're having like a party for 200 people and it's you want it just to be about you guys, which is what it's supposed to be. But you can't actually cater to everyone. Everyone has to learn how to just eat from the trough that is Naomi and Andy's wedding. Like, it's just like, oh, this something for you, don't have something here for yourself, like that's a bummer because it's not about you, great uncle so and so. Like, but everyone that's a wedding guest believes like they are the closest to you two, and will no wedding guest, and I will say funeral guest, has any idea about what time they're taking up of the other person. Like, on your wedding, I'd be like, okay, you're my cousin's husband. You've been talking to me for 20 minutes. It is my wedding day.
Yeah.
We have never spoken this much. I have, like, very good friends here, people I haven't seen, people from far away. Get the fuck out of here. You know, and it's like, all of a sudden, like, Tiff's mom's friend is like, you guys are so handsome, you know, like, it's awesome. Like, and you're like, we gave this lady 15 minutes of our wedding night,
right?
Like,
right,
because she's just brazen enough to be like, I'm the crazy aunt that they love, you know? And you're like,
ugh. My cousin sent me something that I may have to institute. It was just like a little video where basically a bride and groom, they had a song playing, and the game was to take a picture with every table by the time the song ended. So basically you went to each person, you know, you're playing something upbeat and fun, and it's like, run over here, pose, run over here, pose. But at this, even though it's like silly, I was like, everybody gets their friggin' moment, but it is on a timer. You make sure every table has a pick, and then you keep it pushing in 3.5 minutes total. And I thought, perfect.
Can we do it faster?
Genius.
Can it be like a Black Flag song? Can it be Police City? I think that's 46 seconds. Something like that.
It's up to your guys' cardio, to be honest. If you train for it, maybe. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
That's a nice double thing. You know what I mean? Train with like sprinting and a lot of running in formal wear. And then, you know, you drop some of that, like drop a little weight, get a little fit,
yes.
You know, prepping for the wedding. But you're really prepping for functional speed, which will come in handy when the world ends shortly after your wedding.
Exactly. You know, we just want to be, you know, really bonded on paper before it all crumbles down. Yeah. I have to be able to say, that's my man's bones.
Yeah.
I need to be able to get
bones.
We need to be able to get one of us out of the other whatever camps they're all putting us in.
Right. Exactly.
That's the question in America. Who's going to go into camps first? Jews or black people? Who knows?
We don't know.
It's a real toss-up. So
it's neck and neck.
Well, I said this years ago, but I was like, back in the day, I thought Andy would buy my freedom, and now we both need a Kickstarter. And that was never the plan. It's all gone wrong.
Oh my God. If you guys do want, you know, every like couple does like, we have what we want. So if you want to just donate to this honey fund, we'll use this for a honeymoon. You guys have it solely for like bail money.
Bail money when DeSantis
ACLU
takes over.
Lawyer yeah. fees? Right.
Absolutely. Now that would be valuable. That's good. Cause I said, I don't want no.
That's better
vitamins.
Than going to fucking Cancun. Mm.
This money is to build a secret attic.
Okay, Gabrus, you know, I've always enjoyed you. You're a true ray of light. In watching 101 Places to Party Before You Die, obviously it's like reminded us of that. And I was, we were just like, Gabrus, oh, Gabrus. The time we spent chuckling on the couch going, oh, Gabrus. And we would watch the show as we were eating, so we felt involved. It just felt right to be eating while watching.
That's really cute.
So thank it was dinner you. Show, and we did two eps at a time, and we would make ourselves stop. But something I think of you as is what I'm calling a grounded good time guy. All right.
Uh-oh. Ooh. Gabrus, she's hitting you hard with the real journalistic questions.
This is what I do.
I like this.
Because I do think it's like you are here for a good time. You are a jokester. Like, you know, when you're out and about, I would never claim to know your private life. But when you're out and about, you are buoyant. Okay? But you also don't feel to me like someone who doesn't realize the world is trash and people are suffering. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't seem like your head's in the clouds, if that makes sense. You know, when you're white and you played sports and you like a brewski, you know, you could be triggering. You could be if you want it to be.
I got racist face.
You got racist face.
I trust me, I know. I got the face that people can like look at in the bank line and go like, what the f-? You know, and I could go like, actually, no. Sorry, no, I'm like really not like that. I have like auntie, uncle. I look like the uncle that you're like, oh, fuck this guy. But comedian Jamie Lee called me a woke bro, said because I was like, I care how much you bench and what your pronouns are. But I thank you, Naomi. That's really nice. Yeah, it's sort of the best of both worlds and the worst of both worlds is that I'm a good time. Everyone's like, this guy's a good time. And I'm like, yeah, but the world fucking sucks, man. This is all a fucking act.
Were you like that as a teenager, though?
I was a bit of like, I was a fun kid as a teenager, but I wasn't as like confident in myself or like. I didn't realize like a lot of people did like me, but I didn't like feel like connected to people in when I was a teenager, like just a few select fucking weird nerd people. But over my lifetime, like once I went to college and met like a slightly bigger group of people and then so forth and so on, New York City and stuff, like I felt like I'm like, oh, generally people like me. I'm generally likable. I don't know what it is. I can be mean to people and they like it. I can make fun of people and no one ever takes to offense. Like it's just something some weird superpower I accidentally have. I think it's like because I think it's because I have like a Muppet's face where it is harmless in that way of like, oh, it's fine. It's Triumph, the dog who's saying it, you know.
That is funny. Have you ever tried to get the Jim Henson Studios to build one of you? I could see it. I could see it exactly right now.
That's awesome. And especially right now, for some reason, like my angle to my own like looking at you guys, every time I look at myself in that, my eyes are like squinty. I feel like I look even more like a Muppet. Like I just have like.
Yeah. I say go to Jim Henson Studios with a handgun, point it at someone and be like, I demand you build a Muppet that looks like me.
With a handgun.
Walk in there with Kermit on my hand, and when they go to take it off, go, all right, bitch. Now you know what this is. Make a puppet of me now. Everyone get down on the fucking ground. Let's go, Imagineers, or whatever the fuck you call yourselves here.
Oh, it's not easy being green? How about it's not easy being red?
You're blowing people's hands off thinking you're killing the Muppets. Take that, Earth to Ned.
I've got to bring us back on track. Now, Gabrus.
Well, wait. I'm going to bring us back. Hold on.
What, Andrew?
I asked about you being a teenager because, like, well, you met Tiff in college. So I was curious about, like, your dating life before Tiff because, like, if you were still the kind of confident Gabrus you are now, then you know.
I was like a little serial monogamist. This is maybe common knowledge, but I've only had sex with 3 different people in my life.
Okay. I didn't know that. Okay. Yeah.
When you meet your life person at 20, I had a college girlfriend and I had a high school girlfriend. There is one summer in my early 20s and the first semester of my college where my confidence was, I was able to benefit from it.
Okay.
You can imagine being like, oh, I am finally feel like I look attractive and I also have always thought I was funny. I'm unstoppable. I'm a monster now. Yeah.
But now, having been with, I always wonder this when people get together really young, sort of, how do you know that you're a person when you don't know a lot yet? Meaning in life. You see what I'm saying?
That's crazy. And honestly, it is kind of like the first few years, you're just like, this is fun. You know what I mean? Like, and then it's like eventually. And I think like we talk about it a lot. And like we think part of it is, if we're being honest, like we kind of grew together. You know, if you meet like 20. But weirdly enough, like a lot of major life decisions we when we looked back like retroactively at our lives, like we both really wanted to move out of our houses and get to the city and work in like creative industries, and turns out we ended up like loving to watch movies and discuss them and I was like, all this stuff that like, you know, by the time you're in your early 30s, you know about yourself. Mm-hmm. That you're like, I like to have this kind of like, and we kind of built those things at the same time. And, you know, like, which I think made me a more well-rounded person, because I got into the stuff that she was slightly into that I came aboard on, and vice versa. And that kind of really made us like, you know, we've rubbed off on each other so much that we really have each other's like DNA on us.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Meme that, please. Thank you.
Was it a conscious thing, or was it just like luck that you just happened to be like moving in the same directions?
It was luck. That's what I mean. Like looking back after the fact, it's like, it's crazy that we were both like this, and we were both like, neither of us were in a rush to get married. So we were together for 8 or 9 years before we even got married. You know what I mean? Like, when we graduated college, I was like, I feel like we're getting kind of serious. I've always wanted to like have like the dude roommate New York City experience. So I can't move in with you yet. I need to like move in with bros, with buddies first. I need that experience. Like, I just like could tell, and like she was cool with it. She understood. And like that has definitely played into how we're very cool with the others. Even though we're arguably codependent, we're very cool with each other's independence as well. Like, we can arrive somewhere, separate, and no one's like concerned about the other one.
Yep.
Like, how they feel or their behavior in any way. And like, we like also can be like, yeah, go to this thing by yourself with these friends of ours. I am fine staying home.
Please go. That's like me and Andy. It's go. Go.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something like sometimes people like long-term couples like you guys, and I was like, sometimes people are a little concerned with how much you're like, honestly, I don't like, they're like, no, it'll be fun. You could go like, come on, come see Harry Styles with us. I'm like, no, Tiffany, would you guys just go without me? They're like, no, it's gonna be like a fun night. We're gonna go to dinner. I'm like, oh, good. It's like a longer chunk. Go. Like, oh, yeah, I'll skip all of that. I love it. Thank you. And then like the vice versa. I'm like, Tiff, I'm gonna go to the movies with a friend by my, like, sorry, and you have to figure out a way to see this popular movie you want to see. It's like later. We're both very cool like that. I think in both of those stories, I'm the one getting what I want, so I feel like, and we're so cool. And then what I describe is me just being sort of like a dick, like a distant asshole.
No. It's good to reframe selfishness as selflessness. Yeah. Is that not the 21st century?
Oh my God. Yeah. That doesn't explain it all. Like, honestly, taking a lot of time for myself means I'm not giving other people shit. huh? Like, what? That's that is not how that works. Mm-hmm. I like it. That's really funny. Yeah, no, it, giving each other free time is like, and not needing each other for stuff is like, really adds years to like how you could do your relationship. My mom and dad didn't get a divorce. My dad passed away. They did not get along very well. But if you ever ask them like anything about like secrets to marriage or like why do you think it lasts? How did you guys get along so well? They always said I worked days, he worked nights. Like that was like all they were like. So that but. The flip side, like that's a joke because they were spent not see each other, but that meant when they were seeing each other, it had to be like, okay, well, Saturday is the day we're both like, you know, or like Wednesday is the day we're both off. It's like, we got to take the kids to the beach. We got, you know, like, oh, or they hung out on vacation. So you get like that, like honeymoon energy. You're away from each other. And then when you're together, it's like not the norm. So it's
right.
Exciting.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's like a day trip. It's a getaway. It's always like, yeah. And also, but also when you have the kids too, that's also that busy buffer if you need it, or if you choose to make it that, you know what I mean? Some couples don't. I feel like it's definitely our generation and like maybe our industry a lot where people are just like, they have kids, but the kid is also like a cute accessory. Like I see kids out at the beer garden. I see kids out. Like kids are much more involved.
The beer garden is like the number one place for strollers in America. Bro, my brother has two kids, and I'm like, what are you up to this weekend? He's like, we're taking the kids to some museum activity, sport, something in the morning. You know, like my sister-in-law are teachers and work in schools, so they're like these parents that are like, enrichment is happening on the weekends too for these kids. Uh-huh. But then it's always like, and then we're going to Blue Point Brewery. It's like, oh, like yeah, the kids can run around like maniacs. They got stuff for them to play with, and we can have like six beers and some oysters. So. Yeah. And I went with them one year when I was visiting, and it's all families. Me and Tiff were the only childless adults there. They were like, normally there's at least a table of like 20 somethings, and it's like, nope, everyone there was like, we're here with our families. It was like 11 a.m. and people like the volume was like, we've been up for 5 hours. We are warmed up.
Oof. Do you guys want kids?
No, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Us too.
Yeah, not for us. We've gone through the whole journey like of maybe we should. We did IVF because we're like maybe we should at least store some eggs in case we come around to it. Then that was like we've gone just back and forth so many times, and like over right before the pandemic, actually, we kind of came to the final conclusion of like, no, I think, you know. Every time I imagined my future, it was with her, but not with any kids around. And like, I didn't put that together until like extended. I really was trapped in the whole like, I gotta buy a house and yep. I gotta have a kid.
This is what
and
you're then, supposed yeah. to do. Yeah.
Yeah. And then once we kind of broke off, we gotta have a kid. Like, cause we were like, actually, cause I truly was like thinking, I was like imagining future so much. And I was like, there's never a kid. It's always like, we're living in Barcelona. Like, it's always like all my future fantasies are like so bohemian and like dumb. And I'm like, none of them involve kids. And I'm like, I woke up at 1 PM today. Like, I can't, I'm not like, it's not for me. So as we like learned that, once we came to the conclusion that we didn't want to have kids, we were like, well, then why are we killing ourselves trying to find a house that we can afford in a neighborhood we don't like?
It's like, yeah, oh, yeah
we don't need more. I mean, like, it's embarrassing. If we relieve ourselves of the embarrassment and shame you feel for being a 40-year-old people who live in an apartment and have never had a dishwasher and pay quarters for laundry, like, once you get over that, once you're like, that's city life, not sad life. Like, mm-hmm. once you, like, explain that to yourself and you don't need another room for, like, a crying baby, you're like, okay, well then we could stay in this fucking dumb rent-controlled shithole until we can buy a vacation home or some shit. And so like once we've relieved ourselves of those two things and we're like, no, our path is kind of like a bohemian path. And it was like, oh, a childless bohemian, like dust off our hands and be like, this just got like, I was aiming for the wrong, like I was looking at like this mountaintop over there and I'm like, oh fuck, I don't know how I'm going to get to the top of the mountain. It's like, hey, there's this other route that's equally happy and it's like flat and beautiful and near a body of water. And you're like, oh yeah, I'm going to do that one. Like, I don't need that accomplishment. I just need that. That's more appealing to me. So
this,
that's how I, And it feels good. I feel good. I feel like a little self-actualized in a way. I feel a little bit like my path is like, my future path has been narrowed in a good way of like, now that I know more where I want to head.
This is very interesting to me. Like, I love it. It's funny because we did have a question recently where someone was talking about like, I want to have kids, but my partner doesn't seem to. And not even I want to have kids. It was like, she was like, I'm open to parenting in some form. And like, basically the question of like, when do you have that conversation in a relationship? And what's interesting to me about what you're saying is the fact that, as you said, you and Tiff went on a journey. It wasn't something where, you know, you knew from, you know, the time you were 20 that you wanted to be a dad, you know, or she was like, next stop, Mommyville or whatever the fuck.
Next
you know?
Stop, fertilized ovaries.
As a matter of fact, in our 20s, I was more like, I'm like, yeah, I want to have kids someday. And Tiffany was like, I would have kids someday. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she wasn't as into it as I was when we first started. And then eventually we were both like, I started to like be like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know. And like, you know, her influence, like we kind of rubbed off on each other, and as we've been wont to do based on this interview. And then we rubbed off on each other, DNA on each other. Okay, right. You guys get it? We get it.
No, we get it.
Relax, pervs.
But then also but I also love this idea. To me, I'm like, so you guys just decided you were like, let's stop paying rent on that IVF freezer. Is that what happened? You were like, just get rid of the eggs?
No, we still have.
Yeah, the
we haven't
freezer.
Made that decision yet.
Okay, they're in the freezer.
We have that in the freezer. I think I'm probably going to get a vasectomy. That's what the next step is we're talking about. So we can do direct deposits and all that.
Wait, what? You have these eggs in the freezer. What do you, if you decide no, what do you do with them? Do they just like toss them? What happens?
You can donate to science, or you can request that they are, you know, vaporized or whatever. Or
they'll do what they want. They'll do what they want with them.
But you do want to just be like, please don't put this DNA on someone else. Like, don't let someone else have it. They'll regret it for the rest of their life. Tiff and I are such like personality monsters in our own way. So if you have a kid, that's another thing too. And so we came to that conclusion about not wanting to have a kid before the pandemic, and then during the pandemic, like once a week, we were like, and I understand having a family is beautiful and everyone loves their kids and all that shit. Motherhood and fatherhood is so powerful, and I love that for everyone. But once a week, we would be like smoking weed with the air conditioning on. Like, this is like 7 days a week, but once a week, we would have the windows closed, air conditioning on, weed smoke in the house, TV on. It's like 11. We're like ordering pizza and we're just looking at each other and we're like, we're not fucking. Who wants to have kids? And that's like shit we realize we prioritize. And we were like, we are social people. We want to go out all the time. I want to perform at night frequently, you know what I mean? And I know that's all stuff you can do as a parent, but we just realized like we just also didn't want to parent.
Right, you don't want to have to make that compromise. You didn't want to have to make that shift. And I also still think it's easier said than done, because when people say it can be done if you have a lot of money. You know what I mean? You need a lot. Like, I don't just mean the money of a child, but then if you want to be able to hang out, you need somebody who's going to come watch that child an hourly rate is competitive.
Does Adam have a nanny?
You need another airplane seat eventually. You know what I mean? Like, you know, if you want to travel, you need like a third mouth at every meal. Like, you know, like you need or a babysitter and food there.
What if the baby starts doing a bone scraper? We can't have that.
No, you know, baby can't genetically like me. Please, God, baby fucking feral child fucking eat. Most kids don't even have teeth at 6 months. This kid is scraping bones early.
I love the idea that like you and Tiff, you have a kid and then there's just this like crib, and you throw in like a big like Flintstones rack of ribs into the crib and then just once a day come and like pull out the bones.
You just hear like the wood chipper sound.
Is someone watching Fargo?
Yeah. And like full ribs are just flying out of the crib and landing on the ground. And completely clean.
Do you love how much that we have internalized 101 places to party before you die and are like regurgitating it at you?
I honestly, to me, it's also my lexicon. So I'm in. You know what I mean? Like, I'm talking about bone scrapers at home all the time.
Yeah, I'm talking about diarrhea and eating ribs at home all the time.
I mean, I really am, to be fair. You know, you see, my lifestyle determines my toilet style. You see,
exactly.
I remember those.
Don't, t-shirts. Hey, guys, act cool when I tweet that exact sentence. Right?
Wait,
I'll plug couples therapy in the viral.
Here's what I don't get. Adam should have a Jewish stomach, which means that like anything you goes in, it just comes out diarrhea.
I think he does. He has a Jewish, he has a lethal combination of a Jewish stomach and a doctor father. You know what I mean? So he's got like someone who's constantly in his ear about health, but he's also got that. But we're putting like so much, like he drinks like whiskey neat a lot. And it's like, that's a drink that like that fucks your stomach up no matter what.
Yeah.
Like, that's just like, that's powerful. And it's a brutal, like it's a like a brutal life we were living.
Yeah.
We are gluttons who are disgusting. And we were like, had to ramp it up for our job. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right.
I was playing out of like, I'm like a top shelf level at that skill, and I was playing a league up, like being a trash show host. It's like one more than you think, because like the thing sucks about like the lack of downtime.
Yeah,
like you, because it's like downtime is expensive for productions. Like having so like there's rarely, you know, like the days off are like in between and travel days, and we were like, can we have like 2 days on like the last 5 episodes we shot were 3 weeks in a row, 1 week off, 2 weeks in a row.
No.
In that 1 week off, all I did was unpack, laundry, repack, leave.
No.
Like,
oh, no.
And I and you see it on us in Portland, because that's the third week. Like, we were like begging for that no alcohol day. We were like, when we do a cannabis only day, we were like, medically requesting that.
When you open up your contracts, when it's like season 3 or 4, can you add into the contract there has to be like money for a liver transplant?
We should have them we should have our wives deal with like them talking life insurance shit.
Oh my God, True TV definitely needs to pay for your policy, okay? Because they're they're affecting the end game, and they need to be able to pay that. It's like, no, you've done
it. I got bad news. If it's a policy True TV can afford, I'd rather just take
that. Understandable.
For Tiffany's sake, I'm going to, honestly, this is something we her and I have been discussing, we need to talk about, is we should have life insurance for the other one now. Before, we're like, even more, she's like a diabetic, I'm obese, and like, it's like, all right, yeah, how much is our life insurance? Never mind. It's only going to go up as we get older and more close to, okay.
I know, I know.
TV is like, we'll pay for a cardboard box for a coffin, but that's about it.
Yeah. We have a hole. It's in Atlanta, but I think you'll be okay.
On the Turner property. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, just like,
we could
like,
bury you under the Braves Stadium if you're okay with that. You're like, as long as they change your name.
Okay. I think we've gotten a lot of background information on Gabrus that now prepares the listener to go on a journey as he helps us answer these people's questions. Don't you think, Andy?
Yes, I feel very good. I feel prepared.
Okay, we love it. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Hey, folks. I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey y'all, let me talk to you for a minute about underwear. Yes, that's what I want to talk about. Now, I don't know about you, but my underwear drawer is the Wild West. I've got 12 different brands, 4 different fits. Half of it ain't comfortable. I don't even know where I got most of them. I open my underwear drawer in the morning and I'm like, what do we have here? And these are items I purchased for myself. How did I let it get so bad? How? Well, I'm telling you right now, I am getting myself together with the help of Me Undies. Now that I felt the buttery soft comfort of Me Undies, they're all I'm reaching for in the underwear drawer. I got the cheeky briefs. This is the ones I bought. The cheeky briefs in a fun tartan plaid print. And I'm addicted. I'm addicted. They're made from sustainably sourced beechwood fiber and have a flexible, no-roll waistband that keeps them in place all day long. Thank you. Comfort and fashion. There are so many undies to choose from all black classics to fun, expressive prints. Me Undies has a look for everyone, and they come in sizes ranging from extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for every body. Thank you, Me Undies, for the range. Me Undies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug. It's breathable, it's stretchy, it's ideal for all day wear. And if you're listening to this right now and you're saying, okay, Naomi, I have enough underwear, well, guess what? Me Undies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. And they even have an activewear collection called Move Me, which is the softest activewear on the market. So get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/therapy. That's MeUndies.com/therapy for 20% off plus free shipping. Me Undies, comfort from the outside in.
With John Gabrus, honey, here to help you handle your scandal. Gabrus has made love work for 19 damn years, okay? He's still smiling despite the darkness. He has tools that we need access to, okay? And we are taking advantage now. Gabrus, we get DMs on Insta. We get DMs on Twitter, emails.
We get Gmails. In fact, nope, not Gmail. This first one comes to us anonymously from Instagram.
Okay, you know.
All right, I picked this because... last night, I picked all the questions, and seemingly I picked a lot of marriage ones. I don't know what. I don't know why. Maybe that was in my head or what I was working
on. Marriage on the mind, Beckerman. Classic Andy.
After screaming at my parents as people walking their dogs were just like, what is that guy? Why is he screaming into his headphones? All right. Hi, Andy and Naomi. I love your pod so much. I leave the compliments in, John. I work from home, so podcast hosts are my friends and coworkers, whether they know it or not. Crying laughing emoji.
Gorgeous.
Here's my question. My partner and I have been dating for 5 years and living together for a year and a half. We know we want to be together indefinitely, but both have complicated feelings about marriage and weddings that we're working through. Thanks, religious upbringing in the South. He has a complicated relationship with his mom in that she wants everyone to make the choices, big and small, that she thinks they should make times.
I feel this like it's personal to me, Andy. Continue.
I feel like this is one something that's so personal it's universal. That be hitting.
In fact, wait till the second part of the sentence. So she's always vocally disappointed in all her children.
Wow.
Uh-huh. All right. She must love her children-in-law.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Well, her biggest disappointment being that she wants all of her children married with children, and none of them are. Recently, in addition to berating us, that's always a good verb to use. Recently, in addition to berating us for not being married, she's insistent that my partner give me her wedding ring for engagement / marriage.
Oh, Lord.
My first instinct is that I really don't want her ring.
Yeah.
We're not even engaged or planning to get married at this point. There's enough pressure already that if we were to make that decision, I think the only way it would feel good would be to do it in a way that feels authentic to us. I also don't know what the ring looks like. I do love family heirlooms and passing things on through generations, but this one in particular feels strange to me. She's still married to her husband.
Okay.
In parentheses, my partner's father. And they're young. I'm used to family members who are much older giving things away or receiving family heirlooms after someone has passed.
Right.
A wedding ring is also just not something super meaningful to me. I've told my partner that we could literally get a ring at a flea market and I would be happy. Things have meaning to me more for the memory associated with them than the monetary value. Another piece of my hesitancy is my partner's complicated relationship with his mom.
Well, sure.
No way. Yeah.
He's had to have some distance in that relationship for his well-being and mental health, obviously. And it feels weird to accept such an intimate item from someone we both feel distance with. How would you handle this situation? We certainly want her to feel honored and loved, do you? Without us compromising important life decisions and moments or feeling controlled. Hope this message wasn't way too long. No, I think it was
appropriate. No, so in short, if anyone got a little distracted because we had so many active thoughts in the moment.
Yeah, this all you guys who are doing dishes or like this listener working their way through a spreadsheet while listening to a complicated question about love. No way you're doing this while you work. That's amazing.
Some F2 to F12. Wait, what?
So basically, they're in a relationship. They aren't even trying to get married. It's been 5 years and they're happy with what it is. But the partner's mom is like, get married, have babies, give her my wedding ring. I assume this is a heterosexual relationship based on how his mother is.
I think so.
And so I'm like, I just can't imagine, you know what I mean? This mother being that cool.
And also, I like not to be a dick, I think it's a woman who wrote in
because
the energy is, and maybe I will like the ring. It's like, that's the most woman, like the most woman thing ever is to be like, and I don't want to offend anyone. I've been trained like this by society to like, and cause she's like second guesses herself. She's like, I don't want to get married. I don't care about rings, but I do like family heirlooms. I guess, right. You know, like she's already having to talk herself into it. Honey, do not. You are okay. Wear what you want to wear. Say what you want to say. Call your partner what you want to call them. Like, that's my advice right now is I think you're at like a weird point in a relationship where you are being asked to place boundaries. And it's time. Like, it's tough. And it sounds like the husband wants distance too. But I think it's time to be like, we have no plans to get married. But you can let him down easy. And look, we would feel uncomfortable having that ring. So if you want to leave it to me, I would be honored.
That's a good way around it. Leave it to me.
But I, yeah. But I want you to have it while, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't need.
Yeah.
Can I suggest, too, the day after you draw those boundaries, give yourself, have a good meal. Take some time off, watch a comedy. Last night I got back from that walk and I made myself a Trader Joe's mushroom flatbread, which is one of my faves.
It's your fave, but that doesn't mean good meal. But it's a fave. It's a comfort.
It's a comfort. All right. And we watched Bros. It was a very nice evening. It took my mind off of the stuff. Like, give yourself, like, treat yourself nicely because it takes a lot of energy to draw those boundaries. And to be firm with them, I yelled at my parents like they yelled at me when I was a kid. It was really weird.
I think it's like one of the first times you realize like the shoe is on the other foot, especially for people like us. And maybe I'm going to say our generation, but I think maybe it's not everyone that's our generation. But they're like, I feel like metropolitan lifestyle, our generation are eschewing like we're getting married in our 30s. And we're having kids in our 30s and stuff. So by the time you're getting married, you're a little more actualized and you need them a little less.
Yes.
But back in the day when everyone got married at like 20 and 22, you had to like, you kind of needed your parents. You didn't even have enough friends. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you only had like high school and college at that point. Like, Like, you hadn't lived a full fucking life. So, like, you needed your parents' family to be there. They were used to, like, those neighborhood people being at fucking weddings and shit like that. And it's like, once you're in your 30s and you have a real more sense of who you are and you know when you want your wedding to be for you. I'm talking about an earlier subject in relation to this person's question, so I feel bad. But, That's what I'll stop there.
No, but I agree. I do think too, because it's also what you said, what you know, what I said to Andy at the time last night when we were talking it through, and what I say to this person, and in response to what you've said, Gabrus, because I think you're right. It is time. This is a moment where you and your boyfriend are a unit now, and you draw boundaries for your unit when it comes to the family. Mm-hmm. And that is something that I think is very hard for a lot of parents. I think it's a personality thing. I know people who have parents where the parents are pretty, they understand them as adults and as autonomous individuals and let them do their thing. And there are a lot of people whose parents aren't comfortable. And someone who berates an adult, like if you are a working adult who has their shit together, no need to be berated for not doing some shit just because it's not what this other person wants you to do. That's a parent who cannot see their child as an autonomous independent adult who makes their own decisions.
They still see the umbilical cord. There's still like a ghostly umbilical cord in their mind.
That's what I'm saying. And not to make this so gendered, but anecdotally, based on my life and a lot of friends' lives, mothers of boys have a very hard time like passing a boy off to another woman.
Interesting.
And I've heard this be more specific to like Italian culture. So Italian American culture. So maybe that's the case too, because there's like that steep, like there's this weird connection. And like my mom, and I'm the oldest of three boys. So I was like, I broke that barrier, you know, and it was hard on my mom. Like she was difficult about it. And Naomi, you said something there. It's the first time that it's, hey, it's me and someone not from our family versus you. And it's like, that's hard for the parent on that metatextual level, in that they're realizing this is what it is for the rest of my life now, too. And that's like, that there's something crazy about that, because like it's enough to have your child become an autonomous adult, but then when they're like, and this other person who you have no history with, like you have minimal history with, is now a fundamental part of mine and your life, and like
but also really like this person is now my family, right? Like like I feel like Andy and I, and certainly this is further deep into the pandemic, but we are a unit. Like it's literally us, right? Like I feel more of a unit to him than I do to. It feels crazy to say that, but it's like I feel more like Andy is my person more than my mother is my person, because I grew up, you know, as an only child of a single mother. So like when I talk about entwined and entrenched, it was me and her.
Entrenched, a great word.
But it was like it really was. And I think even
entwined and entrenched is better be the title of like your memoir about growing up in that household.
But I think it's hard for her. I think it's really hard for her. And I think I remember one time where she was like, she said things like, Andy took you away from me, or I think his relationship with his parents makes you not want to hang out with me. Like, I've kind of, it's rubbing off DNA. And it's like, actually, no, it was more that like our relationship was really fraught once I became an adult, but I didn't have anybody else. So I always had to kind of capitulate. And once I realized I had another person, I wasn't as willing to capitulate anymore.
Right.
You know?
Right. And that, yeah, like it's like the power dynamic has shifted, and that's hard on a lot of parents. Like, And it's easy to blame your son-in-law or daughter.
Right.
Or,
the outsider. Know, person. Blame the outsider.
It's easy, yeah. It's easy to be like, oh, yeah, let me guess. And it's funny you say you and Andy are you. Not funny you say that, but like in agreement with that, like a couple of Christmases ago, because of the pandemic, Tiff and I had our first Christmas where we hadn't gone back east or on vacation.
Yeah,
right.
And it was amazing.
Uh-huh.
And we made traditions. We started traditions for ourselves, and it was like really beautiful. And we were like so like happy. We did Italian Christmas Eve with seven fishes.
Oh yeah, I saw those pictures. I said I gotta eat some of that. I remember.
Yeah. And then we did Chinese food and a movie on Christmas Day in honor of Tiff's stepdad and my Long Island upbringing. So we did it. We do Jewish Christmas and Italian Christmas Eve. And but we my mom said at one point, I'm so sorry, I'm rambling, but like she about the unit thing, she was like, she's like, I just feel bad that you have like no family out there with you guys. And I go, Mom, we've been living together since we were in our 20s. This is who I'm going to live with until I'm in my 80s. That's an asterisk of life. He's very hopeful. it's like, I was like, Mom, this is my family.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I'm here with Tiff and Artie. I know. And this is, you guys, I'm sure you guys can relate. I'm like, I'm here with Tiff and my dog. Like, this is my family. Like, yeah. I don't. Like, I understand, and I miss you guys, and I understand you're missing me as a piece of what you know holidays as, but I'm not missing, like, my new holidays are, I'm very cool with them. They are yes. very much my speed.
Yes.
And then, oh, and this is so thrilling. My brother got a job at a hospital in Santa Monica for 3 months, and so he just moved out here, and he's my youngest brother. Him and his girlfriend moved out here, and so... he can't, like, he's just moving out here and just getting a spot and all this shit, so he doesn't want to fly home for right. Christmas. Mm. And I was like, well, guess what? You can come to your brother's
yeah.
and sister-in-law's Christmas Eve and Christmas Day fiesta. And they were like, we're definitely in. And I'm like, I feel bad. And I'm like, he's like, no, that sounds so nice. It sounds so nice and peaceful. I'm like, oh, yeah, weird that people who are distancing themselves from our family are enjoying nice, are looking for nice and peaceful. Can't imagine why. Like, oh. From both my family and Tim's family, it's like, oh, weird. It's like quiet and not crazy and not dramatic over here. Oh, this is a delight.
Oh my God, yes.
Oh
yes.
Man. As you were talking, I was thinking, my mom could not be, she loves me, but she could not be more like dusting her hand, the chalk yeah. off her hands. Like,
yeah, she's washed like, her hands of it.
Definitely like if I was a used car, she and Naomi was like coming to pick me up, she would have like opened up the kitchen window, tossed the keys out to Naomi in the driveway, and been like, good luck.
Yeah, that's definitely her vibe. That's definitely her energy.
She loves
second
me.
Second gear's a little iffy.
Exactly. Well,
she loves me, but she was just like, hey, he's your problem now.
Right. Totally. Totally. And it's, but, you know, just to close the loop on this question, it's like, I think what you suggested, this, what you said, Gabriel, I think is so great. We're like, I would love for you to leave it to me when you're gone. You know, don't talk about like the person dying, but the same way, the way you worded it earlier, it's like, I'm yeah. very honored that you thought of me for this.
But it's, I would be uncomfortable.
Yep, exactly.
And like, if you say, because uncomfortable is not super offensive. And if they push it any further, they're actively seeking your discomfort. Like that puts them in a position where,
okay, hello,
that puts
hello,
them in a position
yes.
where you've said something about how it makes you feel. So any other pushing from them is now from malice.
Yes.
Like, you know,
okay.
like now you can speak to it more defensively. You could be more pro. And this is, honestly, and you said that they wanted to stay. She mentions in the article, in the letter, she wants to stay with him for. She knows that that's yeah. her forever person. You gotta like this is the first step of a thousand step journey, and feel free to make this step as small as possible. But it's time.
Yep.
It's time to start. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Start
totally.
Building unit routines. It's time.
Wait,
to
have you been in? Have you done
unit.
Therapy either your own or with your wife?
We have not done couples therapy, but I have done therapy, and I've
because you
like
really have the language,
therapy.
You really have this awareness for how you're communicating something, gay press.
I host a lot of podcasts, and I mean I was a communications major.
Ooh, okay, well maybe that's not nothing. I always thought it was a fake major.
I'm realizing,
but maybe.
And to be fair, the biggest thing I ever claim about communications was I switched my major to it sophomore year, and Tiffany transferred to my college, to the college I was already at her sophomore year, and we were both in intro to communication principles together. And that's
both have that baseline.
Yeah, and we were platonic friends for a couple of years because we both had significant others when we met. And so we were friends for a couple of years before we even got to that hooking up phase. So we've been riding together since first day of sophomore college.
But was was the attraction apparent before that, even when you were dating other people?
Oh, yeah, she's a dime.
I mean,
a dime.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, if you and I, you know, we were both pieces of asses, you know, a piece of asses. Is it like, is it attorneys general? Is it pieces of ass?
Yeah, I believe it's pieces of ass. I believe that is the, yeah. My mom was an English teacher. I believe she taught me that. Yeah.
She taught you it was pieces of ass. Yeah.
That's how she articulated it to you. And see, Andy, so that's how they're pieces of ass. Okay. Yeah, we're both very good looking people now. Imagine us when we were 19. You know? Like we were, you know, like we were hand, like oh, only younger and more resilient, you know. And I did this like alpha thing that I would do. That of course I would do was like I came into class and everyone went around and said their name, and I came in like late in like pajama pants,
sure,
and, like,
absolutely,
a weird like you know just on fully trying to be Van Wilder.
That's on game, yeah.
Van Wilder.
Truly believe myself to be Van Wilder. It's embarrassing. I know. I'm comfortable here. I told you. I got the words. I've got the vocab. And they went around the class and everyone said their names. There was like 28 kids. And the teacher was like, does anyone think they know every single person's name? And I was, and everyone was like, ha ha ha. And I was like, I do. She was like, okay. I stood up and said every single person's name in the class. So, but I like distinctly remember getting to like second row. Hot blonde girl with like a studded black belt, like she had like a black t-shirt over a thermal, she had like a, she's got a real goth edge to her too, and she was kind of like punk gothed out, and I was like, Tiffany, and like a name you remember, a look you remember, and I just like, and then in that class later on the teacher was like, all right, so we just need everyone to group up. I was like sitting three rows away from this chick, and I just was like immediately over to her desk, and I was like, do you have a partner for the group? And got in with just like the hottest girl in class. I was like, I gotta be in her. I gotta be in her group dog. And then it turned out, and we were just friends for a couple years, but she was an incredibly hard worker and like a studious student. So, and we start, and we were both film majors. So we started taking all our classes together because she was such a good student. And it was like, we were just developing our codependency even before we hooked up. Like, we were like, I was like, yo, did you study? She was like, of course. I'm like, okay, great. Yo, do you know? I'm like, I didn't do anything, but I'm going to get by on my charm. It's going to be a dynamic we're going to deal with for our whole lives. You're charming and you work hard. Okay, fuck. You're going to just outdistance me instantly in life. Let's ride.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you have time for one more? Do you feel like you could do one more, knowing that?
Of course. I'm sorry if I. Yeah, I'm gonna overtalk. One more means 20. So I'm in. You know what I mean. I'm here for it.
Let's do this one because I think the
What we have next is a voicemail, and if you guys want to leave us a voicemail, you can call 323-524-7839. There's a 3-minute limit. You will get cut off. It will stress us out when you don't get to the question before 3 minutes. Okay.
So let's do the one that's less that we know for sure they're gonna get to.
Okay.
Hey, Naomi and Andy and illustrious guests. This is Jay from Brooklyn. First time, long time. I'm him, and I had COVID this week, so I've had a lot of time to think. And I've been meaning to call in and ask you about my case of unrequited love. I became very close with somebody during the pandemic over the course of about a year. Spent a lot of time together, had a lot of mutual interests. At a certain point, she would say things like, think about you every day, but she was not really emotionally available, and maybe I'm not either. But anyway, eventually she moved in with somebody, and we decided I couldn't really handle being friends with her because it kind of hurt. And I haven't spoken to her about 5 months, except about a month ago, she sent me a message, said, you know, I still think about you, whatever.
Oh, no.
I responded politely. But anyway, I feel like I was making progress and not thinking about her all the time, kind of reclaiming my interests as my own. But lately, I feel like I've regressed a little bit and become a bit discouraged. And I just think about her all the time, about, you know, books Ooh. And movies and restaurants and just ideas that I would like to share with her. And I will say she inspired me to get back into photography and go to therapy, which I'm still in, which helps. And I started part-time classes at grad school, and I'm looking for a new job, and, you know, I'm working on it. But should I ever try to be friends with her? I feel like I've imposed some kind of loneliness on myself, and I don't know if I'll ever be able to handle it, but I just need some motivation for kind of being myself again and moving on and being confident that I could meet somebody new and not still think about her and not associate my own interests with her just because we shared them for a while. Anyway, any advice you have, I would appreciate. And thank you for listening and have a nice day. Goodbye.
I love you, Jay. You said you need a confidence boost. I love you. Okay? You are coming correct.
You're man, what a well-adjusted individual did we just speak to. Like, what a fucking self-aware human being that just was. A rare, a rare self-aware podcast listener.
Oh,
my God.
Oh, yeah. I remember when I had unrequited love, and I was just totally unself-aware, and I just, like, didn't know how to, like, deal with the, with the feelings inside. And it seems like... Jay, is it Jay?
Yeah, Jay.
Seems like Jay has like is there. I don't even know if there's any advice we really need to give, except I guess don't get in touch with this person again.
Yeah, I think it's like go ahead, Gabriel.
I wouldn't say straight up don't get in touch with this person again. I would say like if you've ever feel like just share those words with her and say hey, look, I would love, you know, I've been thinking of you too, obviously. I would just convey, like, because she seems like she was so positive in your life. If your relationship, if you can handle a change in that relationship, sounds like it's still a positive relationship to have in your life. Hmm. Like her as a platonic friend. I know it's very difficult.
I think not yet, though. I think not yet.
Yet.
Not yet.
That's what I'm saying.
But I think, because I hear you. However... Because obviously, not just, okay, this person was a positive force. It's a mutual thing. Because here she is, you know, four months later, giving a text. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, she's still thinking of him.
Right.
But.
Right. He sounds like he's a positive influence, for someone else as well. Like,
well, right. But this is why, but see, no. I think, you know, Jay, I guess part of that, as you said, this confidence boost is like, the confidence boost you're looking for, hopefully it can come from your favorite podcast hosts. And it is us saying, you are doing everything you should be doing. Meaning, as you said, you know, you are doing the work on yourself. You are engaging in creative endeavors that make you happy. You are
improving yourself by going to grad school.
Yeah, like looking for a job. I mean, you're doing the internal work and
external.
And external. But I think it is, you know, being patient. I think certainly you cannot be mad at yourself for some of these feelings. Like if you've been trying to get over somebody and then they text you out the blue, of course they're going to come back in your head. Like that doesn't mean you're weak. It also doesn't mean like, is this person the love of my life? No, this could be a very impactful person in your life who is not necessarily the person you are meant to spend your life with. And we all have people like that. We all have people who do like people who don't even know they changed the course of our lives, right? Like people you meet and you're like, this person meant a lot to me and they may not, you know what I mean? And like we text once a year. You know what I mean? Like you just never know.
Yeah, she's basically
it's okay to have had that relationship.
Yes, yes.
Have had this relationship with her. It's okay for it to be in the past and both have and just have that, you know, positive send off and not, you know, you need the distance so you're not like in your own head about it, you know what I mean? Like, it, and
yeah, she's like a high school teacher.
no, that's Mary Kay Letourneau energy. I don't
mean like
that,
but I just mean like she put you on a positive path, and that she's in your past, and you can like look at your yearbook if you ever feel like nostalgic.
I get that. Okay, yes, you want him. That's where he needs to get.
Yes,
and I think though,
right? Yeah,
but
you need to turn her into the same. Like, you need to morph that energy into the same kind of energy you felt for a high school teacher that you were not physically attracted to.
Right.
Wait, here's a question, though, for both of y'all. Do you think it's possible to get over someone, to have romantic feelings for someone go away before or without getting with another person?
Hmm.
That's my question.
Yeah. That's hard. That's some real work. And I feel like in the traditional, like, this dynamic of a heterosexual man and a woman, I think it's like extra hard for straight men to like wrap their head around. You know what I mean? Like, I think like attraction like is such a weird thing. Like they have such a hard, we have such a hard time separating those things.
Yeah.
But I do think like that is something to aspire to, obviously, like,
right,
to get over it. And like, if she doesn't want to part, and like, you just have to like be cool about it. Like, but if you understand I cannot be cool,
right,
then that's fine for you. Like, hey, look, I just can't be cool. I know I should be. So let's get
distance. Yeah, I'll see you when I see you.
Right.
But I think it's also like, you know, as you talk about these things, it's like, well, and again, I'm not trying to push you into a relationship, but I do think there can be value, depending on where you're at emotionally, can you do it, in like going on apps and going on dates and having just new experiences with new people. Like, why don't you go on a date and take somebody to a restaurant? You know what I mean? And just like, now that restaurant isn't so attached to this old person.
Yeah,
you know,
do like all the same things. Or your idea of going to restaurants isn't attached to this person.
Yeah.
Your idea of discussing a movie after something with this is someone, you know what I mean? Like, create these new experiences so the experiences also detach them, and the genres of what they are. Yes,
it's
are
diluted.
Get detached from her.
Yeah, yeah. Dilute the situation.
So do all the same stuff though with 10 new people, and then
right,
like photography with new people, and restaurants and movies,
right,
and all that
right
stuff.
Right,
with
right
new people, are and there, then that'll dilute those original feelings.
Yeah, so it's not always bringing you back to her. And I mean, are there any friends in grad school? Are there any cool people? People you hang out with, you know, after class, let's get a drink, let's do a X, Y, or Z. Are those friendships that are worth deepening, you know, or taking outside of class? Like, again, this is just, again, I don't know all your details, but stuff like that. So it doesn't always feel like this person reminds me of that only. You know, because I know that stuff. I have that same thing too. Like, certain things remind me of people. Girl, bye. I'm like,
For the listener, Naomi just unplugged Andy's mic and shut it out of her. Girl, bye.
So it's like, you know, so I know what that can be to have that connection. I think it's about you. I think you establishing more connections, and they can both platonic and romantic, you know. So you also, because I think it can also help you realize not just replacing memories, but also, oh, I can have connections with other people. This one person was not my one chance. Oh, there's someone else who likes the stuff, right, I like, who gets the jokes I make. And you're only going to know that those are that other people are out there if you put yourself out there.
Right. Right. I like that. I like that a lot.
You
also
know,
like, change the situation for, you know, set and setting, to use an old psychedelic term, set and setting. Like, go intentionally to a movie by yourself with like specifics in mind of like if going to the movies was important to you, or like join like a movie club, or listen to a movie podcast, you know, engage with this thing you love without her in a fresh new way that like breaks it for you. So that like, imagine the power of like how much you enjoy movies. And once they're disconnected from her, you can go see them by yourself and with other people, and you get the movie experience that you're seeking, and create new neural pathways for that. Don't go to the same movie theater you went to with her. Go to a different movie theater and do something different. Like, oh, this spot, I always get this burrito before here. Like, you get this dope burrito, and now I have like this nice afternoon that I attach to going to see movies rather than like this old, this other lifestyle.
Yes.
Like, get these things separate from them.
Totally.
And I think that's something goes back to what we were talking about earlier in the episode of like, having that individual time in a relationship is paramount, so that God forbid that it doesn't work anymore. Like, I see it with like my dad dying, you know, that generation, my mom was like dangerously codependent, you know, and my mom is like, is kind of an outlier in amongst her peers in that she's like a little social butterfly who's okay doing a lot of stuff by herself and going on vacation by herself and flying to meet friends places. That's not something a lot of older women.
Was she like that before your dad?
She was
passed? Okay.
Exactly. But so much stuff they did codependently that my mom's life kind of fell apart. But luckily for me personally, to be honest, luckily for her in ways and big time for me, she never lost that social ability. So she's not like lonely. Like, but like you see sometimes, like, and you realize it's okay to be like, we should have separate lives, and then it makes our time together even sweeter. Like, that's, I mean, that's just how I personally feel, and I think like we've got like a good thing going. Yeah,
sure. That's been the basis of this. That goes back to the very first episode.
I was
going to
say the first episode of this show, Gabers, is titled "Gotta Miss a Bitch." Okay.
Yeah.
You need it if you want the love to work. And it's something that we...
And yes, there are Gotta Miss a Bitch t-shirts, listeners.
But...
Promo code Mighty.
But it's also something that we've dealt with, I think, has been one of the challenges in moving to LA together, in that much our social circles... It's one circle, basically, now. Whereas in New York, we had different...
In New York, we had all of our different friends...
Right.
Yeah.
It'll, and like that'll, cause that's kind of like Tiffany and I when we landed, you know, and we've been here for, we're just short of 10 years. We're hitting anniversaries around now. Yeah. We'll have been here 10 years on November 1st is when we moved here. And, our circles were intertwined for so long, but you do just like develop other, like, you know, you get a gig and then you're like, oh, this person is like a friend that has no attachment to you. So this person, like, you know, like Tiffany went to a wedding of a friend of mine that's when she met him. Like, that I had met since moving to LA. It's like he was a poker friend, and it's like Tiffany just wasn't part of that part of my life. And so it, like, but it took 4 years to develop that him and I had a relationship, mm-hmm. where he's like, yeah, you and your wife should come to my wedding where you also meet my wife. like, and it's like, it's just understood that him and I got that close, that was the dynamic. And it was like, that doesn't happen. Like, for both of, you know what I mean? Like, and that just happened to be this, like, separate. So it'll happen organically, I guess, is what I'm saying. But I completely, because that's exactly how it was when we landed. And weirdly enough, I had a couple of people we were kind of friends with in New York also moved here at the same time. And we became weirdly extra close with them. And then they ended up being like these major parts of our lives for a couple of years, mm-hmm. where we were like, we were barely friends in New York. And it was just about like, around the time our tickets were booked. Kind of like if you're still friends with a college roommate, kind of like that's random, that like it was like literally a lottery and we are still friends 20 plus years later. That's kind of how it feels like in that situation too. I'm like, wow, I can't believe it worked out.
Right. I know. But oh, I was going to say something, but I forgot, but maybe it's fine. I think it could be fine that I said what I said, and I forgot what I was going to say next.
Naomi, you are a good person.
Thank you so much.
No matter what you forget.
That's affirming.
That is nice. That felt good for me to see, you know what I mean? So I can only imagine how it felt for both of you to both give and receive that. That's so sweet. And now people are listening and have heard that. That's like, we're touching hearts and keeping buttholes open or whatever the opening was.
That should be on a t-shirt.
Definitely wasn't butthole, right? No, yeah.
Touching hearts and opening butts or whatever you guys wanted me to say. That's on a t-shirt now. With a Muppet version of Gabrus on there, covered in blood.
A gun in his mouth. pointing out.
This is a good t-shirt idea.
You got to listen to one specific minute of this podcast at some point to get it.
There's a 3-minute run. A 3-minute run in episode 242.
Comedy Bang Bang can do it off of like someone saying one thing once. We can do it.
Yeah, fuck yeah. I have this shirt in my store that is no one really buys. It says number 2 fuckboy. And it was just like something that I needed to have 3 ideas when I opened the shirt store, I felt like, or something like that. So it's just this dumb idea. There's only been like 12 sold ever. And a friend of mine said he saw someone wearing a number 2 fuckboy shirt and went up to him and was like, oh, are you listening to Gamers' podcast? He was like, what? And I was like, what? Why'd you buy it? He's like, I just like the shirt. It's like one human being, like one of like the 8 people who have bought the shirt bought it just like, oh, that's a cool expression. Not, I've never even heard of me or my podcast. And that is so dumb and funny to me. I call myself the number one fuckboy on podcast. Andy mentioned it. You guys mentioned it earlier. But I was like, that is so funny to me. Like, and I imagine like this weird Muppet version of me with a gun pointing out. Someone's just like, oh, I thought the design was fucking
right. Right, you know, right.
Like, that has no idea the context of it or anything.
Well, number 2 fuckboy, you could imagine that at like the boardwalk. Right, you can imagine.
Yeah,
that
it's
you
a boardwalk
go into one
tank
of those.
Top for sure.
Yeah. So I could see
it,
someone just
you
randomly.
You can't find it with sleeves for some reason.
Sure.
It's only got cut off sleeves.
Do I get the Big Johnson or the number 2 fuckboy shirt? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Co-ed naked soccer. We do it for 90 minutes or number 2 fuckboy.
I used to, when I was a kid, sorry, I know we're wrapping up, but I just like, I have these very specific memories of those, the like Big Johnson and co-ed naked shirts at Boscov's being like, when I was a child, being like me trying to figure out sexuality through these t-shirts, like as a, like an 8-year-old or something.
Oh no.
My dad's like taking my sister to buy clothes. So I'm just wandering.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Wandering the aisles of the t-shirt section of Boscov's in Reading, Pennsylvania.
Learning about sex. Yeah.
All I know is that you don't want to hang out on the porch. You want to run with the big dog.
Gabrus. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us. What a pleasure. What a joy.
Joy. Delight.
I love catching up with you guys. And here's something. I love catching up with you together. I love running into you separately because you are separate, wonderful, beautiful people who only are, your sum is only greater than your parts, but your parts are fucking great. So,
Clip that out. Play it for my parents.
We will see y'all next week.
Mom, I'm going to put you on speakerphone for a second. I have something I want to play you. I can't really articulate my feelings, but I want to play you something. She thinks it's like a song. It's just like a clip from your own podcast. Okay, Mom. Who is this guy? Gabrus, remember? I said the guy
from the Muppet Scraper.
Shirt,
don't you remember?
You.
All right,
all right, guys,
and everyone else. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.